You're about to enter the world of Michael Zavala.
Okay, yeah.
Now's your chance to turn back.
Hello.
You're listening to
MZ
Michael Zavala.
MZ.
This is MZ Now.
MZ.
Theme song sounds so good when we're in studio and sounds like such trash when we're on Zoom.
Oh, I can imagine. It sounds great to me because I can hear it.
Yeah, I'm sure. It sounds horrible.
How many fingers am I holding up, Clark?
Hi. It's 3.14.
Yeah, that's I was just holding up one finger. My middle.
Oh, wow.
You obviously have a concussion.
Yeah. I did.
So what happened?
It hurt. Well, I was at work finishing up on Friday night, and I basically banged my head into the metal frame to the door to the office that we have at our restaurant. So,
is it for little people?
What? The door?
Yeah.
Well, I think all doors are for people, right? I mean, it wasn't a doggy door. Oh, no. It's like the office is all glass. So if you can imagine a glass door needs like a metal, frame to open and close it. Well, I wasn't paying attention and the door was open and I just turned around and I mean, I walked right into the metal frame. And I mean like, dude, and it was one of those where it was like it was already so close to me that I couldn't avoid it. But dude, like, I mean, I hit my head hard. Hard enough to the point where, and also nobody saw me hit my head, but they heard it, and they turned around, and I was like, I'm okay, and like I was walking by a table, put my hand out to kind of brace myself, and I just completely missed the table, and then I fell on the ground.
God. Was there a customer there?
No.
This would have been fantastic.
See, that's what sucked about it, is that this was at closing time.
Oh.
And I had to have a coworker drive me home. And, I had to basically put the directions in for, him to follow. And he dropped me off at my house and I don't even remember the ride home. I don't even remember coming home, but a couple of things I came to awaken the next morning. First of all, I woke up, I was late for work. I was already an hour late. And, a coworker called me and was like, dude, you're supposed to be at work. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I don't work on Fridays. And he's like, dude, it's Saturday.
Oh, no.
Oh, so this happened Friday night?
Yeah, it happened Friday night. And so when I woke up Saturday morning, I thought it was Friday.
Right.
I was like, I don't work on Friday morning. Why are you calling me? And then there's like, no, dude, it's Saturday. And I'm like, Christ. So then I passed out in my work clothes. So I was like, well, screw it. I'm going to forego the shower. I feel like anyway, so it doesn't matter if I smell like either.
Right.
So
work for tips here.
Right.
No. And so I walk outside. I'm like, all right, I got to get to work. I walk outside, I open the door and my car is not there. And I'm like, what the hell happened? And also when I woke up, I found a slice of pizza in my bathroom.
What the f***?
like sitting on my toilet, like on the tank.
Were you sitting on it reverse?
I don't know. I think I just grabbed a piece of pizza and just started eating, and like maybe I was pissing at the same time. I don't know, dude.
Where did the pizza come from? Did you have it at the house already, or did you make order a pizza?
No. My sister and brother-in-law ordered pizza.
Oh, okay.
So it was just there. One of my lamps was on the ground, like my desk lamp that's on a nightstand was like on the ground. That makes no sense at all. And
unless you try to like, you were falling again and you grabbed the lamp for safety.
I must have fell like three or four times getting home, because yesterday when I got off work, I come home and I'm talking to my sister and I tell her what's going on. And she's like, well, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm like, well, what are you talking about? She's like, well, when we got up, we went to the gym. It's my sister talking. She's like, two things. You had ripped up two lights, like the lawn lights that you have stuck in the ground. There's like two of those two of those were ripped up, and you had three or four of your water bottles that you always carry around in your bag were strewn about all across the lawn. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And I don't remember any of
them. And I like how they weren't really going to discuss that with you at all.
Right. Until you mentioned.
Right.
You were Well, the thing was, like, I got home last night at like 5, and then they come in the door at 5:30, and I was like, hey, I think I got a concussion, and I was just explaining it to them, and they're like, oh, okay. I hope they didn't think, like, you know, they're
just normal drunk Clark coming home from work.
You're like, screw these water bottles, screw these lights.
Yeah.
Give me some pizza. I got to go to bed.
They're going to the gym, you know, and they're like, this guy, you know, that's living with us, coming home drunk, ripping out lawn lights and throwing his water bottles everywhere. Just another day with drunk Clark. And then and then you're like, I think I have a concussion. I'm like, oh, okay, that totally makes sense. But they were never going to mention it to you. They were never going to say, hey, when are you going to pick up your water bottles out of the front yard? They just thought that's who you are.
Maybe, possibly. But then, so here's the point. Or like, so I order an Uber. And I take my Uber to work, and like I'm just sitting there kind of confused because like I'm sitting there thinking like, okay, did I? Because like I couldn't remember. I'm like, did I get wasted last night, and like just didn't remember past like the first drink, or what? Like what happened? And so like I walk to work, and like two people come up to me, and they're like, dude, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, why? What's up? And it's like, dude, you hit your head like really hard last night. And I was like, I did. And then I put my hand like right here because you gotta understand, like I didn't wake up, I didn't take a shower, I didn't look at myself in the mirror, I just,
you didn't feel any pain either,
not really until somebody mentioned it, and then like right when they mentioned it, I touched my head, and like I've basically got one bump right here.
Yeah,
you might be able to, I don't know if you can see the line.
Yeah, a little bit. Really,
and then I got another one that kind of comes up like right here. And so they're like, dude, you hit your head like hard, possibly twice. And I was like, really? And then I touched it, and like immediately it was just like, it just started hurting. And I got like nauseous, like almost to the point where I was going to puke. And it was just like, dude, like all of a sudden, like everybody's telling me like what had happened, like retrace the story.
And then they give you an apron and say, get to work.
Right.
pretty much. Well, they gave me the slowest section, which I was like, cool. Cause I'm like, I'm going to get out of here early. And I would have been fine with it, like not making any money because like I hurt so bad. And I'm like looking at the clock. I'm like,
and you didn't shower. You didn't do anything. You didn't brush your teeth.
Dude,
nothing.
I'm just sweaty, just hurting, hurting. Like I felt hungover.
You got pee on you. Probably some pizza stains from the bathroom.
Yeah.
Cause you know, you're not aiming right when you can barely walk. You're definitely not aiming right. You probably peed on the pizza.
PP pizza. We're gonna open a restaurant. Can you guess the secret ingredient?
Yeah, it's just very salty. I can't anchovies.
So yeah, dude, it was just I do remember now. That night, one thing I do remember is I fell walking up the stairs. I do vaguely remember that, but that's like about all I remember.
So you have two bumps on your head. One of them could be from hitting your head, or one of them is most likely from hitting your head on the door frame or whatever. The other one might just be you falling in the yard, bedroom, bathroom, stairs. You don't know.
Yeah.
You probably hit your head multiple times that night.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially if you can't remember, because I watched you get rocked in a boxing match and you remember everything from that night. I don't know how, but you don't remember that stuff.
There's still some foggy memories from
how
that
fast
night.
Were then, you walking to hit your head on the door frame?
Well, the thing was, I wasn't walking. It was like I was turned around, bent over, like picking something up. Somebody had either propped the door open, and I didn't know about it because like it's one of those doors that like it will stay open if you push it the right manner.
Yeah,
and I mean like I'm just kind of like sitting here just picking stuff up, and I take one big step, and like basically my foot was beyond the frame of the door. And then as I'm following through with the second step, as I'm not looking, I mean, I just go.
I did that. Not that hard, obviously. So, I turned it like I was going to walk out of a door. Right. I literally walked right into the door frame. Yeah. I just misjudged I felt like I broke my nose. But I didn't. I was fine.
Dude.
I didn't pee on a pizza. I didn't eat anything weird. I didn't fall downstairs.
I'm telling you, like, and I hit because I was kind of bent over.
Yeah.
Coming up like this, I hit like all this part of my head.
Right.
So not the face, but this. So, and also, it's funny that Spider brought up my fight concussion, because this is at least the third concussion I've had in maybe 7 years. Because you remember going to Armory after after I sold the house, and we went to Armory and we were partying, and then I fell off that bench and hit my face and screwed my face up.
I do not remember that.
Oh man, because what I heard immediately after falling was like, you go, and concussion.
That sounds about right.
So yeah, that's like my third concussion in like 7 years.
That makes a lot of sense now. It explains so much. Maybe you should do that on their Tinder profile. Just put, I've had multiple concussions. And then your I don't know what you would call them, your applicants can be like, oh, well, that's what's wrong with that. And they'd be a little sympathy situation going on.
You know what? That's it. That's what I'm going to start doing on my applications.
I can fix this. I can fix this concussion-prone person. That's what a woman would say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So put that on your Tinder or Grindr or whatever.
Oh, no. I was thinking about like employment applications.
Oh,
like
for diverse hire? Like,
yeah, exactly. Do you have any disabilities? Well, I've had 7 concussions. You
need to wear some headgear to your interviews.
Like a big, bright-ass red helmet.
Well, Eric's not here because he moved just randomly. He forgot to tell us.
Oh, yeah. He told us the day of our show meeting.
Yeah.
Once we had already started.
Which is weird because like every morning, we have the show meeting, at least for the past 2 months, we've had it the same day at the same time. But just for kicks, because I know this group, I will in the morning say 4:30 ? Just to make sure everyone's still good. And everyone usually like thumbs up, blah, blah, blah. And most times Eric doesn't really interact, but I know that he saw it and he'll just show up. So Spider and I show up. No one else is there. Clark, I know, is working during that time. So I get it. I mean, sometimes he can make it. Sometimes he can't. He gets pulled into something. And then Eric's just nowhere to be found. So I'm blowing up Eric. I'm like, where are you at? And he's like, I'm moving today. Well, you couldn't have told us that like yesterday, last week, this morning.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's moved. He's texting me this morning. He's like, hey, I don't have internet yet. I can't do the show from Zoom. And I said, well, that's fine. You just call in. No response. So we don't know what's going on.
He's over there at like 4:00.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was going to be at 4:00. So I don't know what's going on. And literally the whole show, like the whole first part of the show, thankfully, Clark had a concussion. Otherwise, we had nothing to talk about. So thank you for doing that for the show.
Oh, you're welcome.
But the whole thing was literally about Eric. We need to know, because I really don't know if he's got his antibodies test back.
Yeah.
What were the results? I want to know, because at one point, we've been around him this whole time. If he had coronavirus, it's potentially he could have gave it to us at some point, and maybe we have the antibodies. Maybe we're immune, like Donald Trump.
I'm gonna say where he's moving to is a lot more relaxed with the oversight.
Yeah.
Way more relaxed.
Yeah. He's gonna definitely get it.
Yeah.
He's gonna go out and try all the local restaurants. He's gonna find his favorite saloon or whatever they have out there.
Saloon.
Oh, dude. They don't there's nothing great out here.
and he's gonna end up getting the coronavirus. But I will say this, there is some good news this week. I did get a PlayStation 5.
Oh,
in fact, I got two of them.
Was it? I was going to ask because he cut our meeting short because he's like, I got to get ready. I was like, ready? He's like, yeah, man, I got to get like the dubstep going. I got to turn all 5 of these screens on. I got to beat the robots, man. I got to beat the robots. That's what he said.
I was working on literally all day. What was it? Thursday? All day Thursday and part of Wednesday night. I was sitting in front of 5 screens. Trying to beat the bots, and I did twice. So I'll tell you the whole story.
You were not gonna get screwed like your KFC Crocs.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna do that again. I might have actually at this point become a scalper. I might become the person I tried not to be.
Yeah, you are.
I joined the dark side.
Yeah,
but we're gonna take a break. Alan Alda is on next.
Hello, this is Nichelle Nichols, and you are listening to Michael Zavala.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MZNow.
Call me on the phone, call me on the phone. Call me on the phone, I'm on the phone. Call me on the phone, 888.
MTLIVE 5 all day.
All day.
Call me on the phone, AAA. 3-8. MTLIVE 5 all day.
All day.
Call me on the phone, I'm on the phone. Call me on the phone, I'm on the phone. Phone, call me on the phone. Call me on the phone, I'm on the phone.
Would you like a virtual assistant that doesn't break the bank? You're in luck. The Alexis Stick does everything the leading brands do, like check the weather.
Hey, Alexis, can you check the weather, please?
Y'all better leave y'all wigs at home. The hell's gonna be hot than a motherfucker.
It can even give you directions.
Hey, Alexis, what's the nearest Chili's?
Well, first of all, you need to go left down the street right here. And then when you get to that one light where that one bitch standing over there with that real good sign that's written that good permanent marker, make it right. Go down the street. About 2-3, I don't know what miles it is, but it's, you won't see it on the right-hand side. And it's right next to the good wig store. And just go in, tell them you know who I is, and bring me back some of them chili peppers, spots and appetizers. I got a coupon. It's really good, and trust me, you won't live it.
And the best part? It's only $3.99. That's right. $3.99. And if you act now, you can get a second Alexis for an additional $3.99.
Hey, Alexis, what time is it?
Time for you to get a motherfucking watch. Who do you think I am? I'm barely waking up, too. What time is it? I was out late.
The Alexis Stick, available now.
Hello?
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Hello?
Get in my belly. Get it in.
Hello?
What up, y'all?
Hey, hello.
Say hello to my little friend.
Who's this?
I'm Spider the DJ.
Spider the DJ?
What are you doing tonight?
I think you had a wrong number, my friend.
Damn.
All right.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
This is MZ Now.
Hey, this is Louie Anderson. You're listening to Michael Zavala. Try to spell that name, huh?
Online at mznow.tv.
Mr. Alda, how are you doing?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Doing great. What have you been doing to occupy your time during this fantastic quarantine we've all been in?
I spent the summer in the closet. I do three podcasts at once all summer long. I've been working on them. Clear and Vivid with Alan Alda is the main one. And then there's a spinoff of that called Science Clear and Vivid. That's a 10-week special. And then for Audible, I did an Audible original podcast called Soldiers of Science that comes out in December. But Audible didn't like the sound of that I got where I am now from behind the microphone in my desk, at my desk. So they said, no, you got to go into the closet. I spent the entire summer in the closet, about 3 feet by 3 feet. I had to open the door every once in a while so I wouldn't faint.
So you spent the time working versus, watching Netflix like the rest of us were doing.
No, then I watched Netflix till 1 in the morning.
Well, at least you were productive.
The trick is to find something that you've got to want to come back to.
Right.
So that my wife and I, we often say to each other at breakfast, do you think he's going to go to jail? You know?
Right, exactly.
we believe they're real.
Well, I'm a huge MASH fan. It was one of those shows for me that was always on growing up, but I never really paid a lot of attention to it. And then it's released on Hulu. And then I binged the whole thing in a couple of weeks. Is it amazing to you that the show is still hugely popular and is still getting discovered by new people thanks to these streaming services?
I know. It is amazing to me. And we never even knew it would be successful at the time that we made it. We were just doing our best. And it went on for 11 years, which surprised all of us. I thought at the beginning, boy, this would be, got to shoot it in California. We live in New Jersey.
Right.
This could run a year. I said to myself, this could run a year, you know?
Right.
I had no idea.
That it would go on for, what was it, 11 seasons, right?
11, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it really is amazing.
So while I was binging it, I think I was on the final season. I broke my leg. And while I was in the hospital waiting for surgery, I asked for someone to bring up my Roku so I could finish watching the show. And I kid you not, every episode I watched in the hospital had to do with someone breaking their leg, dying from an infection, a blood clot, amputation, you know, something leg related like that. But I couldn't stop watching it. MASH got me through my leg break. And in fact, I watched the finale the day I got home from the hospital. So thank you for that. It made it a lot easier
to
get through.
That's an amazing story. And you don't know what trouble we had putting those shows together for you.
Well,
the leg breaks.
It was like one right after the other. It was great. I'd still, people were asking me, are you sure you should watch this right now? And I said, yes, of course. It's the only thing getting me through this tragic event.
That's great. Well, that's a wonderful example of how the show is relevant still. And what a surprise that is. But you know why I think it is? Because aside from the fact that we had the best writing and directing and acting that we could put together, there was an element that you don't often see. There were people who lived through that experience, and we interviewed a couple of hundred of them to find out what their lives were like. And that authenticity, I think, even though some of the shows were silly comedy, we always tried to reflect the real experience of the people who were so courageous and generous with their lives.
I have arguments with friends all the time about wearing masks. You know, this is a big thing now that they, you know, I can't breathe in them. I get lightheaded. That's what people tell me. But in MASH, you guys wear masks on set all the time. Did anyone ever pass out from wearing a mask too long? Did you ever see, was that a thing?
No, but I do remember it was uncomfortable. You know, on a movie set, there are a lot of lights. It's
right.
Very hot. The oxygen is getting burned up, I guess, by the lights, because as the day went on, we'd get lightheaded and silly. And if we were in the same set too long, we'd start to get laughing jags and couldn't stop. But I got to tell you, for me personally, wearing a mask, keeping my distance from somebody else, washing my hands, is not such a burden when I think that I could make somebody sick and maybe kill them. Somebody I don't even know.
Right.
Somebody's grandmother, or somebody getting sick from me, getting sick from somebody else, getting sick and coming back to haunt my family itself. We're in this together. I can't understand why it's so difficult to
right.
take care of other people as well as yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's something that should be a no-brainer, but it still feels like a fight we have to go through every single day, you know?
Yeah, but it's tricky. You don't want to be abrasive with somebody who's not wearing a mask. It's not going to probably have a good effect. I have a friend who has a way of getting people to put their masks back on. He starts coughing.
Yeah, it's a great way to do it. It really is. It's effective. So, you know, I'm a big fan of Clear and Vivid. And I encourage everyone to listen to your latest episode with Dr. Fauci. It was fantastic.
Yeah, he's great.
When I go to bed at night, I sleep better knowing that Dr. Fauci is working on this whole COVID thing. He's like the Captain America of disease fighting. I mean, I don't think you can get any better than him.
He's so good at communicating, too. He's clear and vivid.
He really is.
And he talks to you like he's your uncle, you know, coming to visit. He doesn't fill it with technical jargon. He's courteous. So I think he's a wonderful, as you say, a captain of our ship as we sail through this horrible experience. I hope we can solve it so it doesn't linger too long. It's really hurting. It's so many people.
We've all got to band together and look out for each other in order to get through this. So I really hope we can do that and get this thing over with as quick as possible. Your podcast, so you have three of them. Where can people find those? Do they go to the website? Do they go to iTunes? Where are they all? I said one of them's on Audible, correct?
Audible, The Soldiers of Science, which is a really fascinating story. You can only get from Audible in December. And Clear and Vivid and Science Clear and Vivid, you can get pretty much anywhere you get podcasts. If you like to get them from Apple or you get them from Stitcher, Clear and Vivid is easy to get from alanalda.com. And I think we have signs clear and vivid up there, too. I'm glad you reminded me. I'm going to check in that as soon as we get off the phone. When you have three podcasts at once, you can't remember what you did and what you didn't
Right.
do.
I don't know how you keep track of it all.
Well, mainly when I'm talking, I don't listen.
Well, Mr. Alda, it's been an honor. Thank you so much for all the work that you've done both on screen and off screen. I really can't thank you enough. It's been an honor.
You're very kind. It was fun talking with you. Thank you, Mike.
Eric hadn't called in yet, so we have to do some reshuffling real quick. I wasn't going to talk about this, but I guess I will. We do a lot of bits on the show, and then we bring in a lot of honesty stuff to show that we're real human beings and show a real connection, obviously.
Most of us.
Bart talking about his concussion and poor dating abilities, things like that. We really do that to show how real. We're just like you. Celebrities are just like you. So a few weeks ago, or maybe it was a couple months ago, my throat was hurting. And I was thinking coronavirus right off the bat. And then I was thinking strep throat. And then, of course, I go from there to the logical conclusion, throat cancer.
Eight?
Jesus.
Oh.
Either one would have worked.
Were you on WebMD?
Yeah.
You got to stay off. Man.
And I'm starting to go through all the symptoms. I'm like, and I remember looking at the back of my throat. And the other thing was maybe it's allergies. And so I look at the mirror one day and I noticed that my left tonsil is really swollen. So I'm like, there it is. I'm dead. Start planning for the things that, who's going to host the show after I'm dead. I had Alex Trebek in my mind, but he's gone now. So I don't know who's going to be able to host now. Maybe LeVar Burton. Everybody wants him to host Jeopardy, but maybe he can do a better job on this show. So I start going through all the things I need to do before I die. And then because I'm going through WebMD and it seems like I got 80% of the symptoms here. And I ask somebody, I'm like, hey, does this tonsil look more swollen to you than the other one? People are like, no, it looks fine. Looks the same. Just looks a little red.
People to look at your tonsils.
Yeah, just random people on the street. We filmed it. It'll be a big play next week.
Like, hold on, let me take my mask off. Get up close so you can look at my tonsils.
It was a Fear Factor bit we were shooting for Joe Rogan. Anyway, long and the short, I just gargled with salt water. And it felt like it was getting better, and I didn't really pay attention too much. And I kind of went on with life. This weekend, my throat was kind of scratchy again, and I'm like, let me just take a look in there. Maybe the weather's changing. One day it's 80 degrees here in Texas. Next day it's like 50. So maybe it's just, cold. I was kind of congested, had like ear decongestion, normal, typical changing of the season allergies. I go look in the mirror, and there's this white stuff in the back of my throat. So I'm like, strep throat, number one, is what I'm thinking. But I'm like,
was this after a night of hanging out with Eric?
No, this is hanging out with Mark.
Oh, no.
So then I think, it's not strep throat because that would be too easy. It's got to be definitely cancer at this point. And I'm going through the things that it could be. I finally,
but the white stuff can be or the pain in your throat?
That it's all in the same area. It's all in the tonsil.
Okay.
So I'm going
And you rolled out semen. It wasn't semen that was in your throat, was it?
Nothing was off the table at this point.
I mean, I'm not judging. It's just
I came home. There was a pizza in the yard. I had water bottles all over my living room. I didn't know what happened. My car wasn't out front, so I have no clue what was going on. I'm trying to retrace my steps. What happened last night? And then I realized, I went to bed at a reasonable time at 8:30, and after watching an episode of Golden Girls or whatever, I think it was Sister. I never really got into Golden Girls, but that's a whole other story. Anyway, I go to the bathroom and I see this and I start remembering it's either one of two things now. My brain has already narrowed it down, cancer or tonsil stones. Do you know what tonsil stones are?
No, but they sound terrible.
Yeah.
Apparently, I've only had them once in my life. I think it was like 15 years ago. And it scared me because I thought it was cancer then too. Basically, like after a cold or whatever, it's like a bacteria infection.
Oh,
and it's
like
in the pocket of your tonsil and it kind of builds up this little gross stuff back there. And I didn't notice any of that before because it was probably, I was breeding it, it was like incubating in my throat. So I'm like, well, what am I going to do to take this thing out? So I start looking online to see if do I have to go to the hospital now? What's going on? They're going to have to cut parts out of my throat.
I love that at, out of this whole story, this whole time, not once have you mentioned, maybe I should go to a doctor. You're like, oh, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. Let me check WebMD.
Well, I'm a big do-it-yourself guy. I was going to fix my own leg if it wasn't for me getting taken to the hospital. I found up a YouTube video how to reconstruct your leg using duct tape and wood glue. Apparently, it's a common thing people get, and especially because I also did have like a cold. I had cold a couple months ago, and I took like a steroid for it. It could have been like a remnant of that. And people are like, oh, yeah, just put your finger back there and take it right out. I'm like, first off,
oh God,
not doing that. That is disgusting. And second, this is also a couple things I realized this weekend. I'm definitely not gay because I couldn't even stick my toothbrush back there to try to poke around because I was gagging. I'm over here poking it, stabbing it. I had this little poker thing that you use for your gums that my hygienist gave me a long time ago, and it was still in the bag. So I took that thing out. I'm poking. I'm hitting everything but the area I'm supposed to hit. I'm stabbing my cheek and my throat, blood coming out everywhere. And then I read this guy saying, hey, just gargle with apple cider vinegar, and it actually helps break down that stuff. So I thought, well, give that a shot. And it helped break it down. So I'm like, well, great. But there were still a little remnants, and I couldn't stick anything back there because my gag reflex would not allow me to get back there. And so I Googled like a kit, and I found something on Amazon. There was like this little kit from China with like little tools and plastic and lights and LED things and batteries. I said, yes, this sounds exactly what I need. So I order it. Next day it comes in. I'm gone. I was at the studio all day when it came in. And so I came home. The only thing I was thinking about doing was coming home and shoving these foreign tools in my mouth to take this stuff out. And I thought it was going to take me a whole couple of hours or whatever. 2 seconds. Thing came out. Done. Gargle with salt water. Brush my teeth. All good to go. Not gay. Don't have throat cancer. Thank you.
Well, which one are you more proud of? Right. Not being gay or not having throat cancer?
It's a toss-up. Flip a coin.
I also love that you ordered a medical device off of Wish.
Right.
So...
Still,
and literally this thing, it wasn't in a box. No doctor. It was literally individual tools wrapped in bubble wrap and taped together. So you had to like cut everything out. There was no like, nothing was sanitized. I had to just put it in like mouthwash for about 30 seconds and try to kill whatever was on it. I'm going to give this thing 5 stars. I don't know who made this. Probably somebody 3D printed this in their garage.
Yeah.
But it worked.
But if it
I didn't
works,
gag
it works.
Once and it worked in 2 seconds.
So have you changed your mind about the gay part then?
What about it? No, I can't. Even if I wanted to. Even if I wanted to convert to gayism, I could not do it because my throat will not allow me to take anything in.
No, that's still only one side of the gay party.
Anyway. I just hope that you would meet another male and you would hit it off with him, but you had to explain to him like, I'm sorry, Bill. I just can't. My throat won't allow me.
Yeah. But we can have an emotional bond.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like I do with most of the women in Dallas.
Right. Be like best friends.
Yeah.
You know what, Clark?
Yeah.
How many times have you heard this? You know what, Clark? You're my best friend.
I wish
one day I can find a guy just like you.
Yeah. Yeah. And invite me to your wedding. And then it's awkward that I can't be your bridesmaid because I'm a dude.
Right. If only you were a girl.
If only you were a girl. Then what? We go get petties together.
Anyway, so we're doing. I'm sorry if I gross anybody out with that story, but I feel like, you know, there's a lot of people out there suffering from tonsil stones. We're going to do a PSA. I'm actually going to be an official sponsor for this 3D printed tool.
Well, it's good you bring up gross stories because I found. I don't know if it's gross or not. It's pretty hilarious, though. I sent it to you, Clark. I'd like for you to read that article for us.
All right, so this is coming out of Detroit, so it's already disgusting. Title of the article is Detroit Woman Says She Woke Up to Pastor Peeing on Her on Plane. A well-known pastor from North Carolina is accused of relieving himself on a sleeping woman in the backseat of a Delta plane as she returned to Detroit from Las Vegas. I'm kind of confused by... Well, it's like they only have one seat in the back. That's what this article kind of makes it sound like. But anyways, just nitpicking.
I don't know how they're doing planes now that you mentioned that.
I don't either. I've seen videos and it's weird. Like they're packed. Everybody's in there and they're all wearing masks. But whatever. Alicia Beverly had just spent a great time in Vegas and could not wait to get home Monday night. They were on a red-eye flight. Pretty much everyone was asleep, including her. Alicia said she was curled up in the back seat next to her sister when suddenly she woke up to the feeling of being urinated on.
But don't you kind of expect that in Vegas, though?
Well, but
like, I don't feel like she got the full Vegas experience. So now this guy's like, hey, you know what? You didn't get peed on in Vegas. Let me just do it here on the plane before we land back home.
And I like how she immediately, as soon as she woke up, she was like, I'm being peed on.
Well, the other thing is, like, I also love the two cities that are involved with being peed on, Vegas and Detroit, which I bet you the Venn diagram of people being peed on is rather big, so to say. So she goes on to say, it felt warm, like on the side of me, I felt something warm. In her sleeping haze, right at eye level, she saw something very unexpected. I jump up and I see his private area out and I screamed and that woke everybody up. Alicia said, by the time I actually looked at him and I see him shake himself off. And I'm like, this man just peed on me.
And he's a well-known pastor in Detroit?
In South Carolina, they said.
North Carolina. Yeah. I mean, does it really matter between North or South Carolina?
Yeah.
I looked, and there was a puddle of pee in the seat. She screamed and got the attention of everyone on the plane, including an off-duty officer who rushed over and restrained the man, a well-known pastor from North Carolina. According to sources, the pastor had an apparent reaction to a sleep aid. Uh-huh. He didn't say anything the whole time he was standing there. Alicia said being treated like a bathroom, she sat in those wet clothes for several hours.
Several hours.
So the guy was on Ambien and Pete just decided he was going to pee on her?
Apparently.
I guess, but I mean, dude, like, okay, so I bet you flying from Detroit to Vegas is just a little bit longer than flying from Dallas to Vegas.
A little over a few hours.
Yeah, did this happen like right after like they took off and he's just like, oh, I got piss on this lady.
Maybe he was trying to be like that guy. Who's that guy, Kenneth Copeland? Who's all like,
Creepy
pastor. Yeah.
The wind of God. So maybe that's what... that's what he was doing. I urinate!
The rain of God.
Yeah, I couldn't think of anything else. I think I screwed it up with I urinate.
The golden rain of God.
I pee! The rain of God.
The pastor...
COVID-19! COVID-19!
I rebuke thee.
He was just trying to protect her. What's wrong with that? I see nothing wrong with any of this.
Protect her with pee.
We should have done was figure out what church he was from and listen to his sermon that following week.
Oh, I bet we.
You know, there was a story about me.
And pee.
And pee.
And COVID-19.
And COVID-19.
So, the pastor was taken into custody, but hasn't been charged yet. The FBI handles incidents in the air, and they will make a decision on charges.
Could you imagine being that dude of the FBI? Yeah, we got a case for you. What is it? The pastor pissed on a lady on a plane. Son of a bitch.
Yeah, I would love a case like that if I was an FBI guy. I mean, you don't have to deal with murders or fraud or anything like that.
I don't really think you sign up for the FBI to go check out people getting peed on.
Did you guys watch that McMillions documentary?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The real hyper guy? He would have loved a case like this. This is what I signed up for.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like the guy that got this case is probably just 2 months graduated from Quantico. So like, it's like, man, all right. I'm ready to get my law enforcement career going. Here you go. Here's the big one.
And when they do a Netflix documentary on this case 20 years from now and they interview the guy, he's gonna be like, man, I had a paperwork on my desk and I got this case in. I said, this is it. This is what I've been waiting for. This is why I went 6 months in the law enforcement training.
The FBI. Okay, so yeah, Alicia naturally is filled with anxiety. Okay,
and urine.
I left work yesterday because I couldn't stay, but I had to tell them why I needed to leave. Oh, it was a lot. My anxiety was really high, literally. since then, I've only gotten 4 hours of sleep. So I bet you she was like walking by the men's room.
Maybe she should take that Ambien.
She's got PTSD. Yeah,
she can just smell the men's room.
PTSD.
Like yeah.
PTSD. That's great.
PPTP. Okay. That's too much.
If that's not in the article anywhere, someone should get fired because that's a great, that's a missed opportunity. She has PTSD.
So she said she's grateful the officer who is there took charge of the pastor and something is being done for his actions. The pastor's camp has decided not to comment on the story.
Why not?
So I don't know, but also I've always wanted to be a person that has, well, I also want to be a person that has a camp. Like, are you guys my camp or am I in your camp?
Yeah,
or
if you pee on somebody and they go and interview your camp, we would say
no comment.
Yeah, of course he did it. Spider would say no comment. I'd be like, yeah, of course he did it. He was trying to protect her from the COVID. What do you do when you get stung by a jellyfish? You pee on it. What happens if you go to Vegas and people breathe on you? You pee on it in order to protect you from the COVID.
Yeah.
I saw that on a YouTube video and I was looking at how to fix my leg.
Oh, dude, maybe somebody should have peed on your leg after you broke it.
So there's been a little bit of an update.
The
pastor stepped down after being accused of urinating on that woman. So we can't find out what his sermon sounded like.
Well, that's just sad. Can't pee on people on planes.
I don't know why he just couldn't say it was Ambien. Like, what guy in their right mind would just pee on somebody? You know what I mean? It was probably just people do stupid stuff on Ambien all the time. Just be like, I shouldn't have taken the Ambien. I did it. It is what it is. Why are you stepping down? Everyone makes mistakes. It's not like you were in your right state of mind when you did it.
Yeah, that's wild. I would have definitely denied it.
Here we go.
Pumped up some like mental episode.
Yeah, the cops don't believe the sleep aid thing.
Ambien story?
Yeah, they had they did a drug test apparently. Or no, breath test, sorry. Oh, he was drunk.
Oh, he was drunk. Oh, okay. Yeah.
0.175.
Listen, we've all been there.
Content.
What was his BAC?
0.175.
Okay. Yeah, he was feeling it.
Apparently.
We've all been there.
Piss on someone.
We've all been, you know, to the point we've all been to Vegas on a plane drunk heading back and we want to pee on somebody. We've all been there. It's a common mistake.
I'm pretty sure I've been either peed on or pissed on someone at Vickery Park and don't remember.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, you peed on somebody, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. You contributed to that smell.
Or maybe just standing and pee. Maybe that's what I mean.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, that's for sure. The bathroom was all just pee on the floor.
For sure. My car would smell like it the day after DJing up there. I'd get in the next day and be like, oh, God.
So
much pee.
So for those who don't know, we talk about it all the time. Vickery Park was kind of our Cheers in Dallas, and it had an aroma every time you opened the door. It didn't matter what day it was.
Towards the end, it did, for sure.
That aroma was pee and failing business. Oh, and those burritos.
The burritos were great. I kind of missed the burritos.
Oh, dude, honestly. I love the burritos.
Did you ever eat one of those sober?
Yeah.
They were not
good.
No,
I never did.
They were great when you were drunk.
I thought they were good.
2 o'clock in the morning.
But you had to get the right one.
That's
true.
And
then Drew always had an order of like, you would have them heated at a certain way. If it came out too cold, he would send it back. These were already pre-made and they were just microwaved.
Right.
So he was like, make sure you turn it on 1 minute, 30 seconds. You know, he would tell them how to make it.
They weren't even
perfect
microwaved,
burrito.
I hate to tell you. That was pure just sitting in a burner for hours at the end of the night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's no worse than going to 7-Eleven and picking up
a
burrito out of there.
I mean, honestly, they were just gourmet Jack-in-the-Box tacos.
Yeah,
like, yeah, kind of.
You would need Jack-in-the-Box tacos when you're not sober. So
I'm now a proud father of a PS5, 2 PS5s, actually.
And, oh, yeah, twins.
Got twins, yeah. Very, you know, they're a handful, but it's I'm very proud and blessed. It's a miracle. It's not like it happens every day. You know, my biggest thing is, and we were talking about this during the break, it's not like it's something that I have to have, right, the PS5, but it's more of like a tradition now at this point. I'm a PlayStation guy. I like the PlayStation. As soon as it comes out, I have to have it at least a week up. You know, I do my best to try to pre-order or when it was in stores. Right now, you know, the PS5 is not in stores. You had to order everything online to go find it in stores or whatever and come home with it. It was like it's more of like I don't know, like an achievement, right? That I found the PlayStation, the highly sought after PlayStation of that year, you know? So the PS5 comes out. There's no real games for it. I don't really like the look of it that much. I like my stuff all black, and this is black and white. It's like a little Oreo. And I guess a reverse Oreo, because it's black in the middle, white on the outside. It's something I'm going to have for, you know, 10 years. I saw this meme one time. It made a lot of sense to me. It was like, people complain about $500 PlayStations, but you upgrade your phone every year for $1,000, and your PlayStation or your gaming system, you're going to have for 10 years.
Right.
It's not like I play it all the time either. I think I've turned on my PlayStation on average in the past maybe 3 months, 30 minutes a week.
Well, then these things now are basically gaming computers, and that's a really cheap gaming computer that you'll be able to keep for a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And so I don't have a lot of issue with the $500 price point or anything like that. Anyway, long of the short, I wasn't sure I was gonna get it because I talked about it when they first came out for pre-order, that everything was just a mess and I couldn't get one. And so finally I said, I'm gonna get it this time. I don't know what I'm gonna have to do. I cleared my schedule for like 24 hours. I'm gonna work. This is what I'm gonna do. I'm going to get a PS5. So the day before the official release date, I follow this guy, and I've mentioned him before. You guys should follow him on Twitter. It's called his screen name or whatever is Wario64. I turn on his notifications whenever something like this happens, because as soon as something goes live, he's tweeting about it, and you click his link and you're right there. So I knew GameStop was going to release these at a certain time the day before they were the official release date. So I got all my stuff set up. I had 5 devices open, and I said, Alexa, play. I don't really call her Alexa. I can't say what I really call her because then she'll turn on. Alexa.
I'll say it for you. Computer.
Oh, I got headphones on. She can't hear
it. Yeah, I know.
Turn on motivational music. So Eye of the Tiger starts playing. Boy, I'm hyped. I've got a laptop, a desktop, another tablet, iPad, phone, all logged into GameStop, ready to go. My credit card information is in there, all ready to go. What I didn't realize at the time was they weren't selling individual consoles. They were selling the whole thing as a package. So I was like, I don't really want a package, but maybe I can kind of sell off what I don't want. So anyway, long of the short, dubstep starts playing. And I feel like like Skrillex.
You were Mr. Like, Robot.
I didn't cue any of this music up beforehand. So there you go. So I'm like, this stuff is playing in the background. I feel like Mr. Robot hacking. Like I'm trying to beat the bots here.
Or JP and Grandma's Boy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I'm over here like, literally, I feel like a DJ because I'm hitting every device. I'm refreshing this window, adding the card on this window, and I'm just seeing what device is actually going to go through the whole checkout process. The iPad 1. So I'm feeling so great. I pay for it. I get it. I'm excited. And there's an adrenaline that's going on, and it's just so great. A euphoria. The best thing. Better than peeing on a person on a plane.
Or being peed on.
So you're right.
Depending on how you view that act.
Best feeling in the world. I beat out artificial intelligence. I beat out hackers and bots. I got this. And then a couple of seconds later, you realize I just spent $800 on a $500 PlayStation. Do I really want to spend that much money? And so I started to think about it. And I'm like, I guess I can sell, because it came with like 2 games, an extra controller. And I wanted one of the games and I wanted the extra controller, but everything else I didn't need. So I'm like, maybe I can just put it on eBay and kind of reduce that. I said, or I could get another PlayStation tomorrow when they come out and see if I can flip this one. Because they were going on eBay for like $1,500, just the console itself. And I'm giving them NBA 2K21, the Mamba edition, which is a $100 game, and PlayStation Plus. So I should at least get $2,000, $5,000, $100,000 out of this thing. But I'm thinking anyway. So I go to sleep. I can't sleep. I'm too excited. I sleep for maybe 3 hours. I wake up at 4:45 in the morning. Can't go back to sleep. So I just start watching TV. Around 9 o'clock, Wario guy sends another tweet out. Says, hey, Best Buy stock is live right now. I come in here. I start working. I say,
start work.
Alexa, play some motivation music. And she starts playing some stuff. And I'm doing it again. Bam! Got another one. Simple as that. And it was actually just a console. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to keep the console and I'm going to sell the bundle. That's what I'm going to take what I want out of it, sell the bundle. So then I'm thinking, I'm going to get a third one. Then I can actually really make some good money.
Addicted now.
Yeah. So now I'm becoming the person I didn't ever want to become. I always hated scalpers, but now I'm becoming a scalper. And I've always thought about doing this, like buying multiple consoles if I had the opportunity to do it, but I'm always too scared. But I'm like, what am I losing here? At worst, I sell it at market value.
Right.
I break even. You know, best case scenario, I make a couple hundred bucks and it discounts the PlayStation that I already had. So a $500 PlayStation, I made $200, now is $300. You know what I mean? And I got a controller and a game with it. So I'm like, this really, you can't lose in this situation. Watch my house get blown up by a freak tornado or something and I lose it all. That'd be my luck.
I did that back in the day with the DS. Like, basically, I bought enough. So when I sold them, I got mine for free.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really trying to like make money on it. I just didn't want to pay for the one I was keeping.
That's exactly what I was trying to do. And then, but then I started getting addicted. I'm like, I can buy maybe three, maybe four. And then I can actually make some money off of it. Because you're really not going to make a whole lot of money off of one, especially if you're trying to get one yourself. You're really going to just break even or get a PlayStation for free.
You also have a timetable on which you can make that profit, because when they start putting more and more PlayStations out and people can go to a Best Buy or...
I got
to
sell this before Black Friday, essentially.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I've got it...
Before, at least before Christmas.
If somebody wants to buy a $5,000 PlayStation, I'll sign it.
Yeah, I'll sign it too.
It's on eBay. It's going to degrade the value. I'll discount it. I'll actually sell it for less than what I bought it for.
Send it in. Ask them if they can replace the cover.
Yeah. So if anyone wants, you can go to my eBay and you can buy it now for whatever you want. Make me an offer. $20,000, $30,000. Sold. I spend the entire day. That was like at 9:30 in the morning and I thought I was done. But then I started getting addicted to it. The music was popping, banging. So I'm like, you know what? Walmart has four different times or five different times throughout the day where they're giving away or giving away. They're listing PlayStations and you can buy them. So you would sign on to Walmart.com. You would log in. I did the same thing that worked for GameStop, Best Buy. Same exact thing. Their website crashed every single time. And unless you were lucky enough to get through, you could never even get through checkout. Every time. I waited until 8 o'clock at night. I couldn't get anything. There goes my hopes and dreams of being a full-time scalper with three PlayStations. I only had two. So anyway.
Only.
But that music was... somebody should have been filming me. It's like, boop, 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 boop.
Somebody. Just like, you had five devices hitting refresh. There. You could have filmed yourself really easily.
That was it. That's all the devices I have at the house. Now, if I was at the studio, we had like 15 devices. Right.
And you probably would have all had them logged in instead of filming yourself.
Yeah. I mean, it was just crazy. But there is something fun about it for me anyway. Doing something like a highly sought after item on release day and beating the bots on it. It is some sort of like a rush and accomplishment. Like, this must be, again, I said this before, but white people feel like when they're jumping out of planes or off a bridge with a bungee cord.
You need to get into sneakers then.
Yeah, but I don't really care about it. I have to into something I care
that's
about.
The thing. Our old friend, UFO Joe, he was doing that kind of thing just to get a few pairs of sneakers that he liked.
Yeah.
But it was the same kind of thing with him where he was like, hey, yeah, these are dropping this day, whatever. I'm like, good Lord, man. That's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, but I'm willing to put it in because at this point, I'm also thinking about learning how to program so I can build my own bot. Part of me, I'm like, am I joining the dark side? Am I really becoming the bad guy? And then I remembered, like, when a new Apple product drops or something highly sought after, there are people out there that have a little extra cash that doesn't want to wait in line. And they tell people, they hire people, they say, I'll pay you $500 to wait in line for me to get me this phone. And so this is what they're paying me for at this point. You're paying a little extra premium because you didn't have to go through and wait in line. You didn't have to. I did that. I did it. I worked for it. I slaved over this PlayStation 5.
Slaved.
So that you can have it.
You should have heard how excited he was at the end of the meeting. He's like, man, I got to go, man. There's only like 10 minutes before this stuff starts. And he was so excited. I was like, good God, man.
So we'll see what happens. Next week, I might be incredibly depressed because I couldn't sell it. And I lost money. I have no idea. I might jump off a bridge. I don't know. I might be one of those like Wall Street guys who invested everything in a stock and then a tank.
Save it for a few more months. Someone will want it.
Either that or don't unbox it. Yeah. Leave it.
Oh, it's not unboxed.
Just hold on to it for the next 30 years. And then you can sell that thing for like, I don't know.
$200.
For real. No, like try like $20,000. I mean, like if it was Like, could you? Okay, how much do you think an original NES would be worth if it was still in the box, an original packaging?
Couple hundred bucks.
Dude, I bet you that would.
Because you can buy original Nintendo for like unopened for 50, 60 bucks. Plus, you can also get a Nintendo Mini.
Unopened. I've got one for $8,000, one for $25,000, one for $60,000.
But did they actually sell for that?
No, these are
that's
just,
the thing.
These are just
well, the thing is, like, it's you don't have to look at it like in terms of sell. You just have to look at what the market value is.
All right, let's do this. Let's do a little role play.
$18,000 for the show. Super Nintendo. $12,000 for the first Nintendo.
I'm Rick from Pawn Stars. Clark, you're going to be a guy with original unopened Nintendo. You come to me. You're coming into the shop. Hey, welcome to Pawn Stars. Right. What can I do for you?
Yes, sir. I've got this original Nintendo Entertainment System. Came out in 1986 in the original packaging. You can look at it. This is the box. When I open it up, you can see that it's still in the little protective styrofoam with the plastic there. It's got the original cords. It's got two controllers. It comes with the zapper. It's got Duck Hunt and Super Mario Brothers.
Wow. Where did you get this? How did you acquire this?
Oh, well, I bought one. Completely brand new, and I just never opened it, and I left it in my attic, and then I just totally forgot about it.
So you've lived in the same place for 30 years?
Yeah, I just I wasn't really into video games. I was more into porn, but you know,
are we so, all? He has a weird like cough laugh. It's really cool. So cool thing about this, Nintendo was actually a trading card company back in the day, and then they got into video games.
That's cool.
Let me call in an expert to see if this is a legit PlayStation or a Nintendo, and just make sure it wasn't a Chinese knockoff. No offense to the Chinese. Okay. I have my friend Toby. He's a game expert. He's going to come in. Toby, come in. That's you. That's you, Spider.
Oh, I'm an expert.
This guy's claiming this is an original Nintendo. Does this look original to you? And make sure it's not a Chinese knockoff. No offense to the Chinese.
Wait, weren't they all Chinese knockoffs?
Japanese.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, Jaime the racist.
Like they got
just say it looks original to me or something like that.
Looks original to me.
Perfect. How much you want for it?
Well, I've seen some of these on eBay going for like $8,000. So how about $6,500?
Here's the thing. They're listed for that much, but they don't actually sell for that much. A couple things. Great, it's in the original packaging, but it's also got RCA cables, which no TV really has anymore. So how are you gonna play it? You know what I mean? Also, okay. I gotta put it on a shelf. I got a display. I got overhead. You know, there's a dime a dozen of these. You can buy one that works right now out of the box for $60 on eBay. They actually sell for that much. You also have a Nintendo Mini where you can actually go in and add whatever games you want and play it, and it has a HDMI cable to it, and pack it full of a million games. Honestly, I'll give you $75.
No. See, what you need to say is, best I can do.
Best I can do is $75.
Or a bag of
Yeah, that's exactly what would happen if you took that to Rick from Pawn Stars. That's exactly how much he would give you.
Because
you're not going to be able to sell it for that much.
Looking around, I see one that's like $50,000, but a lot of these is dependent on the games and stuff it comes with. Just the console itself,
right?
It looks like you're going to spend about $3,000.
I still have an original one.
I mean, that's...
mint condition.
Yeah, but not neat. Not in the really.
I'll 3D print the original packaging. I'll have a printer make up an original box. I'll air seal it. No one will know the difference. I'll sell it for $3,000.
Then you should get on it.
I mean, I'm not going to really sell it for $3,000. No one's going to buy it for $3,000. That's my thing. Is like I would.
You'd be surprised,
and I love things like this, and I wouldn't buy it for that, especially when you have the Nintendo Mini. But anyway. Next week is our Thanksgiving show. Sadly, because of the pandemic and just because we're tired of it, we will not be doing Twerksgiving. We will be doing a Thanksgiving special with our special guest, Ed Asner, and Clark the Turkey.
Fantastic.
An Empty Now family Thanksgiving. It'll be great. It's going to be right there with Charlie Brown and the big turkey, or the giant turkey, whatever that cartoon is. By the way, I don't really like these Charlie Brown holiday specials. Anybody else?
They're pretty boring. I liked the pumpkin one when I was a kid, but I haven't seen it in
like
years.
It kind of is a. I don't know if it was the music in the background. The whole show is kind of depressing. It makes me feel depressed. like any of these Charlie Brown stuff. I'm not talking about the new stuff. I'm talking about the original specials with the little music. I just feel sad. And the like, I kind of feel suicidal. But,
you know,
that's the only show that makes me feel like
that's what the holidays are for, right?
Yeah.
Right.
That might be why the rates go up because everyone's watching the show. Anyway, so next week, Thanksgiving with Ed Asner. We'll see you then.
This is MZ Now, online at mznow.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MZ Now.